Hello, hello.
Hey, hey, hey.
We're still here.
Yes.
We keep coming back.
Energy is on the rise right now.
Do you guys know that all summer we've been threatening amongst ourselves to not do an episode, to skip a week?
Yeah, I feel like we deserve a week off. That's just me. I'm just saying.
But when I recommend it, he doesn't agree. Like, we're never on the same page at the same time. There are days when I'm like, you know what? Let's just skip this week. And he'll be like, you know what? We can power through it. And then when he feels that way, I'm like, why would you recommend that?
Yeah, well, we've been riding strong for a long time now.
Yeah, it's not, it hasn't been as long as you think.
So we've been, I'm pulling up our list right now.
I think
now.
We're 41 episodes.
This is episode number 42.
There we go.
That's 42 straight weeks of no break.
Listen, we got it like that. We got a lot to talk about. We have a lot of information that we have to put out there.
Yeah, well, we might need a break at some point. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah.
But for right now, we're not taking a break. We're going to keep the party going.
We're not taking breaks. And we've been... I mean, listen, y'all, we've been on vacations, we've been on trips, we've been doing a lot, and we still make every podcast happen.
Yeah, it's our responsibility. We appreciate it.
I think so.
We take this responsibility very seriously to educate the masses.
All right, the masses.
Yes.
I don't. What if only like two people listen to this, the masses? Just them, to educate them.
Yeah, well, you know, in the Bible, they say where two or more are gathered, he will be there also, the Lord, so the masses.
Sure.
What's going on in your life right now?
What's going on in my life right now? I literally had the most epic weekend ever.
All right. We need epic. We need some details. What happened?
Epic.
A lot of volunteerism, maybe feeding the homeless, things like that.
I mean, I volunteered to have a really good time this weekend. So I attended this event called the Family Reunion.
Okay.
It's the first year that they've done it. It took place at Sheila Johnson's resort. The Salamander Resort and Spa. And it was 3.5 full days of all Black celebrity chefs and people who work in the food space, cooking, doing classes, throwing parties, all on this property. We had horseback riding, zip lining, axe throwing. We learned about jerk. We got to make our own jerk seasoning.
Really?
We learned about, again, every chef, and these are like the chefs from Top Chef. Padma was there. Angela Rye was there.
Okay.
We've got performances, a gospel brunch.
Really?
Drinks. We had a lot of alcohol sponsors.
Tiffany was there.
Tiffany was there in the building.
Okay, Tiffany. That sounds like a great weekend.
It was a really great weekend. So it was my gift to my best friend to kick off her birthday.
You threw this whole event for her?
I didn't throw
a
damn thing. But I found this event for her. I found this event for her, and we went and had a ball.
Big shout to friendships.
Big shout to friendships. Now, we're not talking about any of that today.
No. Although I did have a nice vacation,
did
too.
Did you?
Yeah, I went to the Outer Banks.
Okay.
I went to Martha's Vineyard. And I went to Bermuda.
Yes. You did. Well, you didn't do all of that this weekend.
All this weekend.
That didn't happen.
Nah. This is over the course of a few weeks.
Yeah, absolutely.
I've been having a good time.
I have also. I hit Martha's Vineyard also.
Good.
This was like one of my favorite years going to Martha's Vineyard.
A lot of Black folks in Martha's Vineyard.
Yeah.
It was really, really nice to
be there. I've been multiple times. This year really was lit for me.
That's good. That's good.
Okay.
So what we're talking about today, this is kind of a difficult topic.
It's not difficult.
No.
Talked about way more difficult things.
Tiffany, this is kind of a difficult topic.
Okay.
We're talking about the wealth gap of the middle class. We often hear about the wealth gap of Black versus white or men versus women, but we've got to talk about this middle class wealth gap.
Yeah, this one's not racially specific. We're not talking about the wealth gap between genders. This is just the wealth gap of the middle class, right? And for some people, they may be like, what exactly are you talking about? The middle class is just like a black hole. It's just like, if you're not broke, and if you're not Bill Gates, you're just somewhere thrown into the middle class, right? And so today we want to actually define what the middle class is and give some really strong statistics around how many people are actually struggling versus doing okay in the middle class. I think this is the one class where, like, you could be doing horribly and doing well, but have the same label.
Yeah, yeah. What we find is that there used to be this goal of making six figures.
Right.
And this goal of making six figures was
arbitrary.
Was the promised land.
Arbitrary.
Like, all my problems will go away.
Yes.
If I could just make six figures.
Yeah, that's back when gas was 79 cents a gallon. things are considerably different now. Plus, all six figures are not created equal.
Of course.
So that $100,000 versus $900,000 are two different things.
For
plus,
sure.
$100,000 in New York City versus $100,000 somewhere in a small town in the Midwest are two totally different things also.
Yeah, yeah. But this idea of being middle class, your problems are not over. Like, what we find when you look at the statistics, there's a lot of folks who make middle class income but have a lot of the same problems that folks that make low income have.
So let's talk about it, right? The bottom 25% of the middle class. This is from a research study.
Okay.
The bottom 25% of the middle class has 9 days of savings. So you know how we talk about, you know, everybody should have at least 3 months of emergency savings, mm-hmm. but up to 12 months of emergency savings.
Yep, three,
we think that's responsible,
yeah, I think so.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, again, in the middle class.
Okay.
The bottom 25% of the middle, not the lower class, not people who are considered under the poverty line. The middle class, the bottom 25% of the middle class only has 9 days of emergency savings.
Yeah. Yeah. That's not good.
What can you do in 9 days?
Yeah. Pray after on day nine, you're praying. You know, 9 days ain't gonna get you very far.
Yeah. And the country's top earners,
mm-hmm.
on average, again, we're just talking about the middle class. This entire podcast, we are just talking about the middle class.
Mm-hmm.
So the top earners in the middle class, on average, have 52 days of emergency savings.
Wait, so the very best of our middle class folks can
on average,
not even 3 months?
Right? So that means there's somebody out there who can cover 12 months and somebody out there who can cover zero. Like, it's on average 52 days in the middle class.
Yeah.
Right? And I think you talked about it. Like, the middle class used to be, it means, not even used to today, right? When you're in the middle class, it means something,
yeah.
Right? So what is the middle class, right? Like, put some numbers on it. Everybody's confused. It's not just you. Mm-hmm. We're confused. So our former President Obama used to say that the middle class is comprised of individuals who make less than $200,000.
Okay.
Right? So maybe like $50,000 to $200,000. That's not a big ass gap for you. That's not like a big difference. Like $50,000 versus $200,000. But for President Obama, that's what he defined as the middle class.
Yeah.
Now, the Census Bureau has completely different numbers. They say that the lower income, so lower class, is $0 to $37,000.
For a household.
For a household,
mm-hmm.
right? So they consider a middle class household somewhere between $35,000 to $100,000 annual income.
Okay. So $100,000 is middle class. And that kind of fits within
but
Obama's.
But $101,000 is not upper class.
Yeah, no, it does not make upper class for sure. I think I would say that once both husband and wife are bringing in more than, I don't even know. What do you think, T? What do you
so
think?
So I don't think it matters, class? Right? I don't think it matters who's bringing it in, but I think combined income, and again, it really does depend where you live, and we live in New Jersey with extremely high property taxes. I think middle class is 125 to 300,000
for a family,
for a household.
Yeah,
125 to 3. I would.
That's kind of Obama-esque.
120.
That's
in his, I was gonna
in
say,
his
my,
range.
Yeah, 125 to 300,000 for a household to me is a middle class household.
Yeah, and we talk to a lot of these families.
Yeah.
We talk to a lot because folks go to our website, momentum-advisors.com, and we'll talk to you. We'll listen to your goals and we'll listen to your income and your assets and give you some advice. And when we talk to folks, we're often like shocked that income isn't necessarily a predictor on wealth.
Exactly. It really isn't. Not at all. Plus, you'd be surprised. So of all American households, of all U.S. households, 42% fall into the Census Bureau definition of middle class. So they fall into that $35,000 to $100,000 a year considered middle. Mm-hmm. So 42% of Americans are middle class.
Yeah.
But I bet you 42% of Americans don't feel like it.
Especially if you only have 9 days worth of emergency savings.
Or 52.
Yeah.
So there's a wealth gap. Like, as we mentioned at the top of the show, there is a wealth gap. There's a wealth issue in our middle class.
Yes.
Even though the middle class, when someone calls themselves middle class or someone gets defined as middle class, it's a little bit of like a, oh, you know, we're a middle class household.
Yeah. Like you're moving on up.
Yeah. But are you? You might let the research show you're not moving anywhere.
Yeah. Yeah. That's crazy. Yeah. People need to know this though. This is like, a topic that nobody's talking about.
So the U.S. Commerce Department defined the middle class completely different.
Okay.
Right? They weren't basing it on numbers. They based it on aspirations. So owning a home, mm-hmm. a car for each adult.
Okay. That's not too much to ask for.
Health insurance.
Well.
A college education for each child.
That's great. Okay.
Retirement savings.
Mm-hmm.
And a family vacation every year.
May I add in loafers, penny loafers, and a sweater?
Listen.
Can I add that in?
Feel free. And
to
a deck.
The aspiration?
A deck.
You
got to have a deck.
Deck optional.
No, deck optional. Is optional?
Yeah.
Okay. I like this definition better, right? Because there's no number around it. And again, this may cost one thing in Kansas and another thing in DC, right? But I think both will be considered middle class. If you can afford, if you have all these things going for you and you're actually paying your bills, you've got a home. Mm-hmm. Not paid off, but you have a mortgage and you're making your mortgage payments.
Can I add an ice maker on the fridge?
Oh, listen.
That's middle class.
Okay, right.
That's nice. Nice to have. But go ahead. Keep going.
Got a home.
Mm-hmm. Ice maker.
With the ice maker.
Okay.
You've got, each adult has a car.
Okay.
You got health insurance for the entire household.
Yeah, okay.
College education for each child.
Mm-hmm.
Got some retirement savings.
Okay.
And a family vacation every year.
That's all right right there.
You're doing all right. I think that's the type of middle class that people are aspiring for. Not necessarily these numbers, these arbitrary numbers that no one can settle on.
Okay.
But these kind of aspirational things. Alan, so based off of that, are you middle class? Not talking about the numbers, not talking about how much comes into the household. Just these aspirational things.
Yeah, I'm middle class based on those numbers.
Shout out to you.
Wasn't always.
Shout out to you being middle class.
I am now.
Okay.
Yeah.
Congratulations.
Are you middle class, Tiffany?
I've got home ownership. I've got a car. Got some health insurance. I don't have children, so I don't require college education for them. Got some retirement security.
Ice maker
for sure.
Okay. All right.
And I definitely do my family vacations.
Yeah.
So I'm middle class. You're middle class.
Mm-hmm.
Probably a lot of people listening are middle class.
Or aspiring to be.
But should you, like, after hearing these numbers, like, you want to be the aspirational version of middle class, not necessarily the quantifiable version of middle class, because one quarter of households making $100,000 to $150,000 a year claim that they couldn't come up with $2,000 if they needed to.
Sheesh. Can you say that again? Wait, you're saying that y'all make between $100,000 and $150,000, and if grandma needed to borrow some money
for her
cataract surgery?
Right.
You couldn't help her out?
Wouldn't be able to come up with it.
Wow.
Right? And it's not because the income isn't enough. It's because you have so many expenses. You have created so many expenses that you're not able to cover your emergency savings or other things. Nearly 30% of American adults do not have any money saved for retirement. We know that. We talk to people all the time.
Yeah, that's a sad place
to
be. Who
reach out to us and they're like, so I'm ready to start saving for retirement.
Most of us will get old.
Right.
And our feet will start to hurt.
We get people who are 55 years old talking about, so I'm ready to get started on saving for my retirement.
Yeah. So, you know, you might need to work a little longer.
Yeah. Your retirement is very far out. But these people, again, are all of us, we're still considered middle class. And so I think one part that I really want to drive home, like I keep saying middle class over and over again, is because no matter, even though we're all lumped into this thing, we're all different.
Yeah.
And different in a variety of ways, whether it's how much money we make, how we define ourselves as middle class, if we got 9 days, 52 days, 12 months of emergency savings, if I can come up with $2,000 or if I can't. But overall, we got to really talk about like the wealth gap that's happening here, and we got to close it.
That's a fact.
Right? Because being middle class is supposed to mean you're doing all right.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And what we're hearing is that a lot of the middle class is struggling.
Yeah.
And I'm sure there's a lot of listeners, even before like your middle class, we've defined ourselves, we are each middle class. I remember having all these things and struggling.
Yeah, that's right? A fact.
Like having the good salary and or having the, I've always had a refrigerator with an ice maker and still struggling.
I just got an ice maker like recently.
Really? You didn't have an ice maker?
Maybe like 8 years ago.
Oh, okay. You've had one for a while. I didn't know if you just got one. But part of the problem, right, and we've read case studies, we've talked to people, you often equate it to, you know, well, that they're trying to keep up with the Joneses. You know, they're trying to do too much.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? They saw such and such got something, so they had to go out and get one. Honestly, that's rarely the problem, especially with families.
Really?
That's rarely the problem. The problem usually is the parents aren't trying to keep up with the Joneses, but they want their children to keep up with the Joneses' children.
Yeah, no, I definitely see that. I definitely see that.
Right? It's like
summer camps.
Right.
After school stuff.
Private schools. All the programs, all the technology.
Clothes.
All the trips.
Yo, kids are getting phones like crazy early now.
But you know what I mean? Like, I think a lot of the issue when you start having children and you're in this middle class, and so you're making good income, you're making good money. You feel like, well, my child should be able to benefit from the fact that I'm doing better than my parents were able to do for me. And so I want to make sure they have the things that I didn't have. Now, you know, your parents took you to grandma's house every summer, but your kids got to go to Disney.
Yeah.
Okay. Now,
they ought to floss for the gram.
They got to go to Disney. Now, you know, you used to wear your older brother's hand-me-downs, but you know, we can't. The new Jordans just came out.
Junior needs drip.
You know?
He's got a floss.
He's got something. We don't want to ruin his self-confidence. We don't want to ruin his self-esteem. Right? Like,
yeah, no, that's a fact.
You went to public school. Yeah. And I'm not speaking to you specifically,
but
like,
dead at me.
I mean, you did go to public school. We went to the same public school.
And my kids do not.
You got three whole kids that are in private school. And I'm just going to ask, since we're here.
Oh my gosh.
You're the only other person in the room. I have no one else to ask. How long have your children been in private school?
So my younger two since kindergarten. My oldest preschool through kindergarten in private school. Went public for first and second.
And then y'all brought him back.
And then he went back.
So easily, maybe not your youngest, but your oldest two have been in private school each for at least 10 years.
Yeah, that's a fact.
Right? So you've paid for easily over 25 years of private school.
Yeah, more than that. Yes.
Yes.
Yes, I have.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I could have sent them to public school, and I realized this. In my house, I wanted my kids to go to public school, by the way, and it didn't work out that way.
Yeah, and they have great educations, and they're great kids.
Thank you.
But this is what's happening in our middle-class families and households. You're doing better than those who came before you, so you want to provide your children with more, but you might be taking it a little bit too far or a little bit out of your price range, trying to keep up with everything. You know, your neighbor's got a car for their kid. You got to make sure your kid has a car.
Oh, these kids' cars are getting nicer and nicer. My first car cost $300.
Yeah, no parents doing that now.
I'm seeing kids getting Mercedes, Lexuses, like new Toyotas. Like
they got to have phones, right? They got to have phones at like 9, 10. You got to get a phone.
Phones are very early,
right? And it's got to be a smartphone because they have to be able to play games
and social media,
right? So. Middle class, we are talking about what middle class is, but more importantly, we're talking about what's happening in the middle class that's creating these wealth gaps, that's preventing the middle class from actually being able to really benefit from the money that they're making, from the income that they're bringing into their households, because it's a problem. And for our listener who feels like, y'all must be talking to me, it's not just you.
Yeah.
It's probably almost everyone around you. and no one's talking about it. So we're going to talk about it. We're going to talk about where this money's going and what we can do differently. So stick with us. I'm Tiffany Hawkins.
I'm Alan Boomer.
And we're the Momentum Advisors.
Hi, this is Ghani Rose, Chief Content Editor here at The North Star, encouraging you to check out thenorthstar.com every day for insightful, engaging commentary on the stories that impact our culture. The writers at The North Star make it our mission to advocate, mobilize, agitate, and disrupt in the name of creating liberation-centered content. We unapologetically center the narratives of Black, Brown, and Indigenous people. We understand that you can get news from anywhere, so we are more interested in offering perspective that speaks to the experiences of our audience. We write freely and with freedom on our minds. We invite you to indulge in our daily editorials and engage in the dialogue that will change the world.
We're talking about being in the middle class.
And being broke.
How being in the middle class ain't really looking like nothing. It isn't really feeling like the cushion and the comfort. Like, what was it? The Wonder Years? Yeah. The Winslows? Yeah. The Family Matters? Mm-hmm. They were middle class.
Yeah, they sure were.
They were a little comfortable. They never mm-hmm. talked about, we ain't got no money.
Yeah.
We broke.
Well, Carl was a police officer. So he was good.
What did the wife do? She did something because she was coming home from work every day, but I don't remember. And then they had her sister living with them, Rachel.
Both their hair was always done, that's for sure.
That's what I'm saying. Always had on fly outfits.
Yeah.
Laura was out in these streets on a regular basis.
They've been selling the middle class dream for a minute and not telling you
the
that.
The Cosbys were middle class. That's yeah. where we got, this is where Black people were led astray, okay? The Cosbys were middle class, but he was a doctor and she was a lawyer.
Is that middle class?
I mean, it's Obama's middle class, right? And so we watched how they raised their children.
Yeah.
You know, going on vacations and museums and just allowing them to do different things.
Yeah,
and we thought we had to raise our kids. Like, we got to have that type of life. Now, their kids were in public school. And I remember some sort of episode about financial aid. We didn't take those parts. They were...
Really? I don't remember financial aid.
Yeah, there were, I think for Theo... You know, because he had a learning disability.
Theo went to NYU, though. That's not...
But, like, on private. Some... But he was struggling
yeah,
a little
I
bit.
I remember this. He had dyslexia.
Lisa Bonet, I don't remember what her name was, but she was making... Denise was making shirts for Theo.
Yeah. That wasn't off them not having
I'm
the
just
money.
Saying. He couldn't afford the expensive shirt. He couldn't afford the Gordon Cartrell. So, yes.
His dad had the money. He just didn't want to give it to him.
Because there's boundaries around how you give money to your children. He couldn't afford the Gordon Cartrell, so he went and had his sister make one for him.
And he looked terrible.
Right, but we didn't pick up on any of those things. Yeah. A lot of their events and parties took place at home.
Yeah, sure did. And they didn't hardly go out to restaurants.
At all.
Barely. Remember when Theo put that hot pizza in his mouth and burned himself?
You would remember something about food.
Yeah.
Right? Well, but like that was sold to us as the middle class. That was the living the dream.
Yeah. There was a lot that was sold to us that ain't all what it seems. That's all I'm saying.
Or it really is what it seems, but it takes a lot, right? Like you really have to, you've got to have some balance around these things. Again, he was a doctor. He was private practice doctor. She was a lawyer. And they still set boundaries around how they spent money on their children and how they spent money on themselves. Heathcliff Huxtable was always trying to fix everything himself. He didn't want to spend money on a maintenance person.
We're talking about the Cosby Show.
I'm just saying. I'm just saying.
Okay.
Right? So here's a lot of things that happen. We talk to middle class. We talk to people all the time, right? Who are easily defined as the middle class. Here's one thing I see all the time. You've been putting your kids through private school, right? Getting them a car, doing the Sweet 16, you know, doing the vacations. You didn't realize how much college cost.
Yeah.
And now they're 16 and a half SAT scores are back.
And there's no money.
There's no money.
And the SATs weren't what you expected. And they can't quite dunk the basketball the way you wanted them to.
Right. Because you know they're not tall enough.
Yeah.
And AAU ain't get them there.
Yeah.
So now you're short. In the next 4 years, if you only have one child, is you struggling to try to help get them through college because you don't want to take out, you don't want them to have to take out student loans.
So other things that we see is just folks that, you know, are making good money and just not being thoughtful about how they're planning for things. Like we talked to a couple recently who, you know, one spouse stayed home with the kids, which I think is great. But if you're going to make that choice, there needs to also be some budgetary sacrifices.
So I love this one. I love this one. This happens so often, right?
Yeah.
Where the wife has had a child.
Mm-hmm.
I've decided I want to be a stay-at-home mom.
God bless you. I think it's wonderful.
No one's talked about this. This wasn't the plan. We thought we would have two incomes. We bought the house based off of two incomes. I didn't receive some sort of imaginary promotion. Like, but you've now made this decision because you've bonded with your child and the love is so strong that you don't want to leave them. I ain't going back to work.
Yeah.
And now what felt like comfortable middle class is now the struggle middle class.
Needs to be planned out. Like all I'm saying is, look, if you're going to make that choice, and my wife stays home with the kids, and I think it's a wonderful choice if you can afford it, you've also got to have some budgetary things with it. You can't expect on a one income household where both parents need to drive a brand new car and you still need a 2-week vacation every year. Like certain things need to be cut back on.
I have an interesting story. I have a friend whose child is going to college this year.
Okay.
Got accepted. You know, they're going. Child is going to Brown.
Nice.
Shout out. Nice. Really smart kid. Got some scholarship money. Got some scholarship money from Brown and some scholarship money from, you know, third party opportunities.
Okay.
The parents were required to, you know, get on a call with Brown, just some sort of conference call, just to talk about funding. Finances. And Brown said, and this happened this year, so you need to disclose any other scholarship money that you've received outside of what we've given you, and we will deduct that number from the scholarship money that we plan on giving you.
Yo, that's messed up.
That's hateration at its finest.
Yo, that's crazy.
That's crazy. So I asked my friend, I said, I know you ain't say nothing. Like, and she was like, no, I didn't. But like, can they do that now? Like, you're only allowed a certain amount of support. And if the school gives you $20,000 a year, but I got $10,000 from the church or some sort of SA or something else, you're going to deduct what I've gotten from somewhere else from what you planned on giving me?
Yeah, that's messed up.
Right? And so that's one of the things that happens. Another thing that happens in middle class households is maybe one of the sources of income happens in a lump sum. Maybe you're an author, or maybe you do something where you get paid a lot of money up front,
mm-hmm.
right? And so you're excited about that. You know, oh, we brought in $300,000 on this deal I did.
Wait, 300?
Or contract. Maybe I got a new contract, and that's maybe $200,000,
$250,000.
$200? Who? And so now the family is budgeting for $250,000.
As if it's coming in every year.
As if you don't have to pay taxes.
Ooh, yeah, that's tough. That's tough. That's tough.
Right? And then now it's time to file taxes. You haven't paid anything because you ended up spending. All of a sudden, you need every dime of the $250,000.
Yeah.
And now you have a tax bill.
Yeah.
Right? You got a tax bill that's easily probably $75,000.
Wow. Yeah, that's tough.
Right? And that's what happens a lot of times, even when we hear these salaries. This is my favorite thing. Got a new job. They put that offer letter in front of you. Oh, I'm making $100,000 more than I was making last year. Bought a car, upgrade the house, put the pool in.
Can we talk about house for a second?
Take the kids out of public school and put them in a private school.
Yeah.
You don't bring home all that money.
Yeah, you really don't. But on the house note for a second, we see a lot of folks that are buying too much house.
Yes, just because they said you qualify.
Doesn't mean you should buy it.
Doesn't mean you can afford it.
Yeah, because it's not just the mortgage. It's the insurance. It's the maintenance. It's the
furniture. The lights. You want electricity. You want Wi-Fi. What about water?
Yeah.
Alan is really pitching for ice makers in the refrigerator.
You know, and I've seen a lot of folks get in trouble. You know, right now the housing market is really hot and folks are like, dying to buy homes, and there's less homes for sale than there are buyers, and prices are going through the roof. And even vacation homes, like people are going crazy to buy vacation homes. Like you really need to count up the cost and make sure that there's enough to really afford it, not just what the bank's willing to give you. Buying too much home is a major issue I see in the middle class.
So something that we're seeing regularly in the middle class also, right? Because you've come up with all these new expenses, you've been hit with all these. Someone said that what the reason why they can't save any money is because a rainy day is turning into an ongoing storm, right? And so every time you turn around, it's something else you got to pay for.
That wasn't in the forecast,
right? But all these things are happening, whether it's taxes, college, your kids, just random accidents and emergencies. And so people in the middle class start filing for bankruptcy.
Yeah. Here are some of the reasons why. You know, like if you are already struggling and living paycheck to paycheck, I think the thing that we're talking about today is that there's a lot of folks who make six figures and they're living paycheck to paycheck, and you don't have a lot of money set aside for emergencies. Like one false move and like your whole situation is jacked up. So 66% of folks who file personal bankruptcy, it's medical reasons. And
you can't tell somebody like, hey, don't have no medical issues, yeah, right? Like you can't forecast it. One, and two, it's not something you can plan for.
You really can't.
Which is why you should be planning for emergencies in general. But again, when you can't, when you only got 9 days of emergency savings, and something happens to your body or to your health, you got to do what you got to do.
Yeah. And some of the health things is like, I've got insurance, but maybe your insurance doesn't cover this. Like, I'll tell you, my mom was on a trip on a vacation and she got sick in another country and had to be in the hospital there for a week. She had to be medevaced back to the States and then hospitalized again. There was a lot that was not covered by insurance. We had to pay out of pocket. My parents had to pay out of pocket for a lot of that. And that's enough to push somebody that doesn't have emergency savings into a big hole.
Can I tell you a tip my mom gave me?
Okay.
Don't tell my mom, y'all. Don't tell my mom, but she just...
Your mom is in the medical billing industry, correct?
I don't know what you're talking about. Okay. This is what my mom told me for the sake of medical bills.
Okay.
If you call an ambulance, like something happens and you call 911 and the ambulance comes out,
okay,
don't walk to the ambulance. If you walk to the ambulance, you will have to pay for the ambulance ride. I don't care what's wrong, you make them come in and get you and put you on a stretcher. And it's some sort of like, now it was just a requirement of the service. Really? And you don't have to pay because now you could have walked. You could have.
Which means you could have driven yourself.
Which means a bunch of things, right? You got to go full out on the ambulance, okay? If you call the ambulance, you got to lay there. Mm. Let them put you on a stretcher and put you in the ambulance. It's like you pay less. Like it was like, a requirement of the service versus a voluntary ambulance ride.
Yeah, that's a major key. Just lay there like my neck and my back.
Listen, whatever it is, when they ask you, can you walk? Just say no.
Yeah. Okay. That's a
major
key.
Just go with it.
That's a major key.
Might help these bills come down.
Yeah. A lot of times people have high deductible insurance plans where they've got to pay the first $5,000 out of pocket and they've never gotten a cold before. So they don't expect that day will ever come and they don't have but 9 days worth of emergency funds and they get sick and they don't have the deductible.
But other reasons people file for bankruptcy, especially in the middle class. We just talked about this. Mortgages you can't afford anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Too much house.
This is an issue from the housing crisis where folks were buying homes with adjustable rate mortgages and they were not factoring in that mortgage might adjust a lot higher.
Right. Or you just have too much going on and you can't pay it.
Mm-hmm.
And you haven't been paying it. Then, because oftentimes what happens is you just, 1 month is really, really bad and you don't pay the mortgage. Right. And then you figure out a way to get back on track. But the next time something gets really, really bad, you're like, well, I'm going to just not pay the mortgage because I did that last time and it worked out. But this time it doesn't work out. And then 1 month turns into 3 months. And now you definitely can't come up with 3 months and the month that's due. And it just keeps rolling. It just keeps rolling down and you try to put something on it.
Mm-hmm.
But they ain't trying to hear that.
Yeah.
And now you're just not able to afford your home anymore.
That's tough. That's a tough spot to be in. Another reason 44% of bankruptcies is just simply living above your means, which we talked a lot about, which is, you know, just.
But I think I want to, people are like, that's not me. Like, I know I don't do too much. You know what I mean? I do a little here and there, but I don't do too much. I don't live outside my means. Not taking into account, do you eat out every night? When you eat out, is it drinks on drinks on drinks?
But let me give you another stat, right? If you have credit card debt that you're carrying from 1 month to the next, you're living above your means.
Yeah.
Point blank, period.
And people don't see it that way, right? Because I make my minimum payment. Like, I have my credit card payment under control.
Yeah.
So I'm not living above my means.
You are.
If you are not able to pay for the things that you did 6 months ago in full at this point, you are living above your means. Like, people don't think about it like that. Also, again, like, if you are consistently adding to your credit card debt every single month, just putting a little, you know, I'm going to put my weave on there. I plan on doing homecoming, so I got to put my hotel rooms and my rental car on there. We're going to go out. We're going to go out for Keisha's birthday, so I'm going to have to put that on there.
Or Tom's birthday.
Tom don't have no birthdays. Tom ain't doing it like that.
But the credit card, to me, I look at it like if I were a doctor and you walked into my office and you were bleeding, like the blood is the symptom. You've got a cut. You need stitches, right? The credit card debt to us as financial advisors is the symptom, right? The problem is the spending. And if you're spending consistently on credit cards, if you're not paying off the full balance and you're carrying a balance from 1 month to the next, like, you've got a spending problem. You're living above your means.
Another issue that we see, especially when you are kind of reveling in the fact, you know, we're doing all right now. You know, me and my husband, we moved to the suburbs.
Charles.
And, you know, Charles III. And we moved to the suburbs and, you know, we each got our little Audis. And, and you know, we're going to the Vineyard this summer.
Really?
Now your family members are like, well, they got money. So then you become the first person that people come to when they need money. And you don't want to say no because you're playing the part, right? Like, if I say no, that's then they tough. Don't think I got it, even though you don't got it, right? And a lot of people file bankruptcy and find themselves in really bad financial positions because they can't say no to their family and friends when they ask them for money.
And some of these ways that they come up with the money is a 401k loan, which we talked about last week. Sometimes it might be a cash advance off their credit card. Sometimes it might be, you know, let me just pay this for you. And they're doing it on a credit card. Like, 28% of folks who file bankruptcy, it's trying to help somebody else out.
Now, you know, people who fall within the middle class are also typically college educated.
A lot of times
they're college educated, which means that comes with student loans. Right. And so that is a big issue. I know we talk about it all the time. I joke about it all the time. But seriously, student loan debt, especially in Black families and Black households, it can be the thief in the night when it comes to someone's wealth.
Yeah,
it really can be. Right. As we mentioned, like, the middle class is probably the most educated class, to be honest with you. And that's when the master's and the doctor's come into play because you fancy.
Yeah.
And that master's in drawing didn't get you anywhere.
In drawing, in basket weaving, would that be more helpful?
It didn't pan out for you financially.
Yeah.
I remember we were talking to someone, a listener. I will never forget this because I just wanted to, I had to walk away from the phone. And I don't remember what the exact profession was, but they were like, you know, was an admin somewhere. And I will never forget this. They had their bachelor's degree. And when we asked them how much they had in student loan debt off of their bachelor's, again, and they just worked in admin, and this was like not like, like this wasn't like a recent graduate. I remember they were like $196,000.
That's crazy.
And I'm like,
who told you that was a good idea?
What? What universe? Like, what didn't? How did this not pan out? How did you not see this coming? Like, I think the degree was like, again, it wasn't in like quantum physics, right? It wasn't in like going to space. It was like psychology or something super basic.
that their degree
and
was
they played a sport. They like went to college. I'm like, did you pay to play the sport? Did you pay to go to college and then pay to be on the team?
They had a good time. That's all I'm saying.
I remember being on this call and I was like, we can't do, you're clearly a bad decision maker.
Yeah, their income was like 40, 50K.
Yeah.
200K in debt. And
just off the student loan.
Yeah. So student loans is an issue. And the crazy thing about bankruptcy, you can't even discharge your student loans in bankruptcy.
That's but, foul.
You know, you might need to get rid of everything else so you can cover the student loan. So that's a big one. And the reason why these percentages add up to more than 100 is that clearly when folks are filing, they're listing more than one thing as the reason why they're in bankruptcy. The final thing is divorce and separation.
It's like, cheaper to keep her.
Yeah.
But it's not. I don't really agree. Yo, I don't think it's cheaper to keep
her. There's a lot of folks who literally cannot afford to get divorced.
Yeah, I don't know.
What I mean financially, here's what I mean. Like,
you mean like alimony and child support?
No, like, all right, if let's say my spouse doesn't work.
Okay.
Okay. And I know they're going to make me pay for her living expense and the kids. Let's just make that assumption. By the time I pay all that,
you can't pay for yourself.
I got to live in a one room shack. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, those are the situations where it's cheaper to keep her.
Plus the legal expenses.
So that's the, I don't really necessarily agree. Unless y'all fighting, it isn't really a major legal expense. Like I got a divorce and that's it was like.
You guys were friends and amicable. Like,
that's what I'm saying. Unless people are fighting and
which
like.
Which happens.
Yeah, which happens then yes. It's, you have a lot of legal fees and things can go on forever. If y'all just won out, if you're just trying to dip, like, and maybe you don't have a lot of assets together or you could really care less, it's not expensive.
Yeah, but
it's like $150.
Okay. I've rarely seen the $150
one. Mine might have been less.
I've often seen the $50,000 to $200,000 legal
on
bill.
Legal fees?
Legal, yes.
Oh, wow.
One of my old, really good friends had a divorce where he owned a business and it got really, really ugly.
Well, yeah, because at that point, you know, you want some sort of equity or percentage of the business.
And a percentage of the 401k. And I want some of those cars and you got to pay for college and I'm not going to pay for it. Like I'm saying, it can be really, really expensive the more assets that you have.
Dang.
Yeah.
I'm divorced. My parents got a divorce and I was like old enough and aware to know what was going on with that financially.
Yeah, you were in your 20s. Like, imagine if you were right now, God forbid, you were married and you got divorced right now. Like, you're legal. And imagine the dude always was envious of what you had, what you, your financial wealth, the assets that you have. Like, you're not having a $150 divorce, my friend.
Yeah, but I'm not one to share either. Like, I would like to hope that my paperwork was tied up. Plus, hey, so let's just do this. Let me just put this out there right now. Because there's a lot of people sliding in my DMs right now. I don't know what's going on. I know, you know, maybe it's people are interviewing for cuffing season. But people are sliding in my DMs right now. I'm posting some things on Instagram. So maybe that's what's happening.
Okay.
But, here's the thing. I am very public about being an advocate for prenups. Any person that even thinks we're getting married is signing a prenup. You're not walking away with anything when it comes to me. Okay. And I mean nothing.
So we need to get you in touch with these lawyers that specialize in breaking prenups in court. But
yeah, if you're willing to pay, if you by yourself are willing to fight this fight against this ironclad contract, feel free. I don't have no legal fees because I pay for them up front with this prenup.
Yeah, I've often,
or we cannot get married.
I've often seen a spouse that has the smaller bank account have the other person pay the legal fees in the divorce. I'm just saying it can happen.
Not when a prenup is present.
I'm trying to tell you.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm not doing
it. Be
I'm
careful.
I'm not doing this. So I'm staying in my middle class. Ain't no divorce or separation. Listen, I almost said, y'all not about to get me out of my low class situation. I'm not doing it. Not off a divorce. You got to go. I mean, if you have to go, then you got to go with what you came with.
Okay. They might not see it that
way. Okay. This ain't a rewards program.
Oh my gosh.
You're not racking up points over here. I'm just saying. Middle class, is it worth it? Does it matter? What does it really mean? And if you're in it, are you struggling? And if you are, you're not struggling alone. And so we're talking about how you got into this problem, how you got into these situations, and hopefully how you can get out of them. So stick with us. I'm Tiffany Hawkins.
I'm Alan Boomer.
And we're the Momentum Advisors.
Ooh, it's the pathway to freedom that's leading to the North Star.
Thank you so much for listening to the Momentum Advisors Show. This is Sean King, founder and CEO of the North Star. If you want to hear more shows like this, featuring black and brown voices on the most important issues of the day, head over right now to thenorthstar.com to discover all the podcasts we have to offer. We have over 500 different episodes from 6 different podcast series, and they're all great. Check them out.
Momentum.
All right, so we've talked about I was getting ready to say how your middle class ass got into these situations.
Dang.
I'm just saying.
Hey, Tiffany, you reading them, aren't you?
It's not them. It's us. It's us. We've all been in these situations. You've all been, for people who are making good money, you know what it's like to be making good money and still be living check to check and just not having it, just off of these random decisions that we've talked about, right? And so, listen, all of our middle class asses have been there. Hopefully, we've grown through it. But if you haven't, here's some advice to get you through it.
Yeah, we've got to do better.
First of all, don't buy too much house, right? Like, again, just because they tell you you qualify for a certain number doesn't mean that's how much you can actually afford. As Alan mentioned, listen, I tell this story all the time. We all got that aunt who don't have no furniture in her living room. She got the 2 living rooms, the sitting room and the living room, and there's no furniture in the sitting room. Mm-hmm. Because she can't afford to put furniture in that room. She's still using her furniture from however many years ago, from 30 years ago, from that first marriage. Because while she, all she can afford is to pay the mortgage. Her refrigerator, per Allen, don't have no ice maker on it. Y'all still using the plastic trays to get ice out. People got to put their hands all over their, all over your ice for you to get a cold drink.
Who ate all the ice?
You know what I mean?
And fill up the ice maker.
Listen, don't buy too much house.
On that same note, don't buy too much car. This is like one of those
Black
things.
Black people ain't trying to hear this. Yo, this is the one we ain't doing. We not doing this.
A lot of us really like to have nice cars. And the latest car, the 2022, and it's still 2021, that's one of these things that gets us in trouble.
I got a confession.
Uh-oh. Oh,
I got
no.
a confession.
Oh, my gosh.
So I plan on buying a new car at the top of the year.
Okay.
I've been planning this for a year. I did a ton of research on which cars I could afford, which cars I liked within my price range based on how much I wanted to pay in a car note. Sorry. I figured out what I wanted.
Okay.
I know exactly when I'm going to go. Even the dealership is aware of when I plan on coming in to purchase the car.
Okay.
All right, very responsible.
I like it so far.
Now I went to Martha's Vineyard last week.
Oh my gosh.
Hear me out. I went to Martha's Vineyard last week. It was the African American Martha's Vineyard Film Festival. I went to an event with Regina King.
Okay.
Sponsored by Cadillac. They showed this Cadillac commercial. I walked out like, I gotta get a Cadillac. I've never seen this Cadillac ever. It's probably like the 2024. It's probably way outside of the budget that I set for myself on this previous car that I was settled on. I lie to you not. I'm looking at Cadillac.
And how much more is it?
I don't know.
Percentage wise?
Because it hasn't even come out yet.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. Don't buy too much car, Tiffany.
I'm just saying.
If
y'all see me in a Cadillac.
Stunting.
Just don't say nothing.
Tinted windows.
Don't say nothing. I don't tint windows because I need you to see me in it. I don't do that. But Black people, we're not doing this one. We like our cars. Yeah, we like our cars. But, and car dealerships make it way too easy, right? You can lease it. You don't got to put nothing down on it.
Yeah.
But it will get you in major trouble. And oftentimes when people are in really deep situations, they won't do the obvious thing and give the car back.
Yeah. Yeah. I just see a lot of people just buying what the dealership will allow them to get. I see people that feel like they need 2 cars. Like, this is my kicking it on the weekend car. This is my commuting car. Like, cars are just really throwing money away. Like, yeah, it looks nice. And I'm not saying you should just get a bicycle, but I am saying, like, you don't need to spend so much money and have multiple cars. Having multiple cars is just a bad idea for a lot of reasons. Like the car that you're not driving a lot is sitting there just falling apart. Like cars need to be driven a little bit. And you've got insurance on both vehicles. Somebody might break into one. Like there's just higher odds that something can go wrong with two cars. I just had a $8,000 car bill on repairing my car.
Dang.
$8,000.
I would have gave the car back.
And they gave me the same car when I was done. I offered, I was like, yo, can y'all just trade this in? Like, they're like, sure, as soon as you pay for this bill. I'm like, oh my God.
Yeah.
Don't buy too much car.
Unless it's this new Cadillac. Y'all go on a website for Cadillac and look at this thing. If Regina King is in the commercial, look at, Google it, look it up. They got like these three cars. Listen, if we just all decide to do it, then I ain't gonna say nothing.
Yeah. If you work for Cadillac, cut us a check. We would like a
sponsorship. Don't cut me a check. Give me one. Just give me the new one and I am good. Everything else, you can't help everybody. Like you can't be giving money to everybody. A lot of people that I know only give money because they don't want people to think they don't have it.
Yeah.
Even when they don't have it. But the thing is, you know, I've created this perception, you know, everybody thinks I'm the successful one. I can't say that I don't have it. So I have to find ways to give it to them.
That's a great one. Another one is max out on your retirement savings.
Like, and you may be like, listen, what's that going to do for me?
Yeah, you have to. Like 20K if you're under 50, it's almost 25K if you're over 50. Max out on your 401K.
Yeah, and that's one of those things I'm hoping you will set it and forget it, right? Like just go to HR, tell them to take it out so that it never even came through, so that you're not even counting on this money, so that you don't even consider this money a part of your household income and you are operating without it. But you're really growing and you're creating wealth for yourself and an opportunity for you to retire gracefully.
Don't borrow from your 401k.
Man.
Just don't do it.
I think we say this on every episode. Like no matter what.
Don't borrow from your 401k.
No matter what the podcast is about. Like the podcast may be about like, you know, travel, best ways to travel. Like we are still going to say don't borrow from your 401k. Just if you don't get anything else from us ever, please don't borrow from your 401k. Next. Pay off your credit cards. And I know for some people, you're like, listen, I got $30,000, $40,000 in credit card debt. That's easier said than done. Then just stop using them. That's a start, right? Yeah. Like, I think that's the baby step. Stop using them.
Just stop.
Just
forget
stop.
The points. Forget the
People with the
perks.
Points. Hit you with the points. Yo. Oh, I get airline points. But you're afraid to fly. Like, what one thing doesn't, no one cares. That doesn't work out. And I'm just curious, why don't they give like grocery points? Like people give points towards something that I'm really going to do.
Well, my card actually does.
Grocery store points?
It sure does. I get cash back. But
okay.
I mean, that's when I was still using it. I don't use it anymore.
But just stop using the card, right?
Yeah.
Because again, what you're doing is you're training yourself to use more money than you have every single month.
It's a trick. It's probably the greatest trick ever pulled.
I mean.
It's credit card points.
It ain't tricking if you got it. And clearly, y'all don't got it. We don't have it. So let's just stop doing it. Please, please, please try to pay off your credit cards. But if for nothing else, just stop using them.
Next, for the middle class who wants to stay there, put some money aside for emergencies.
More than 9 days.
Yeah. You want to have at least 3 months of, I need to be able to cover all my expenses.
I'm sorry. I have to ask you a question. What do you spend in 9 days? I'm asking you personally, just think about how the last 9 days have gone for you. Mm. What's that number look like?
Well, if you count that I just got my car out the shop.
Don't include the car. Just eating, driving, doing what you do, regular things. What's your 9 day?
9 days might be like 4 or 5K. It might be.
You do in 9 days?
I have three kids. Yeah, 9 days in my life is expensive.
Good God. Well, no. My 9 days don't look like that.
Think of it like this. Divide your monthly budget by three.
Okay.
So what's 9 days for you?
So if I divide my monthly budget by, that might look like less than 3,000.
Okay. So mine is four or five. Yours is three. So I'm saying like you've got an expensive 9 days too.
2,700.
Yeah. Okay. Have more than that. So if you're Tiffany and your 9 days is three stacks, That means your full month is 9K. You need 27K sitting in the bank to be comfortable. Like, normalize just seeing that money sit there and don't try to do something with it. Don't say it's just sitting there doing nothing. Like, it's actually there protecting you.
Okay.
It's your little angel.
Next, invest outside of your 401k.
After you've maxed out.
After you've maxed out, right? Pick another number. Pick an extra $100 or $200, right? Like, we've done an episode called Where the Money Resides. We talked about compound interest. That $100 or $200 invested elsewhere can go very, very far. Maybe it's a part of some sort of cooperative economics. You and your friends are coming together to put some money on an investment property or to do something else. And you just got to put this $100 or $200 aside, you know, every single month outside of what's happening in your retirement. The goal about being in the middle class is to be stable, to be stable and secure, and potentially give yourself the opportunity to move above it. It is not to give the perception that things are going well when you're actually struggling.
Absolutely. The final thing we'll say is, like, yo, try to figure out how to make some more money. That means network. That means be good at your job. That means look into some passive income opportunities. Think about buying a piece of investment property, but figure out a way to make some more money.
And my favorite one, stop spending all your money on your kids in ways that aren't necessary, like in ways that are really feeding your ego and that aren't actually benefiting your children. If you can't afford private school, take their ass out of private school. If you're middle class, you probably live in the suburbs. You probably live in a good enough town where the school systems are not horrible.
And that's probably why you picked the town.
Exactly. So, right? Y'all pick these towns based off the school system and then you send your kids outside of them because, again, you want your kids to keep up with the Joneses. Maybe you don't do a family vacation every year. Maybe it's every other year. Yeah. Right? Like, maybe they're not in all the programs. Like, it's free programs. I'm telling you right now, our town, y'all need to move here. It's every free program under the sun for kids. Right? Like, they've got CrossFit, tennis lessons, swimming lessons, all for free, provided by the town, right? Like, you've got to stop using the excuse that I want to give my kids more than what I had. You are giving them too much if you can't afford it responsibly.
Yeah, so that's it. We talked about the wealth gap of the middle class today.
Yeah, and I hope we
stepped on a lot of toes.
Stepped on a lot of toes, right? But it's an understanding that if you are in some mess, you're not in it alone. Mm-hmm. And being in the middle class or being labeled middle class really doesn't mean a damn thing.
Sure doesn't.
And what you want to be is happy, comfortable, and stable. So maybe we remove these labels. Maybe we don't focus on these labels. Maybe no one cares if you're a part of the middle class, because it could mean you're making $35,000. If you're friends with President Obama, you're making $200,000. If it's me, you're making $300,000, right? So it really doesn't mean anything. It's not a real flex. Right? The flex is actually being happy, stable, and okay.
I love it.
All right, so we're stepping outside the middle class. I'm Tiffany Hawkins.
I'm Alan Boomer.
And we're the Momentum Advisors. Momentum.